two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show?
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form.
By searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G.
Presented by You First Credit Union.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. By the way, the Mountain West Conference has announced their Players of the Year. Offensive Player of the Year, Brad Roberts from Air Force. Defensive Player of the Year, Junior Fajico from San Jose State, who that had my vote. That guy was really, really good. Freshman of the Year, Taylen Green, quarterback of Boise State. I would have gone Ike Larson. That's who had my vote from Utah State. He ends up on the second team. Only player from Utah State on the first team is Alfred Edwards, offensive lineman. And on the second team, Calvin Tyler and Ike Larson are the only members of the second team. Hunter Reynolds should have been there. He is honorable mention. Greshick, who 6.5 sacks, honorable mention. So, not a lot of representation from Utah State on the Mountain West teams.
Is that surprising to you?
Hunter Reynolds should have been on at least the second team defensively, in my opinion. That's the one that really stood out. Ike Larson, if you look at his numbers and what he was able to do with 4 block kicks, 4 interceptions, a couple of sacks, I think he should have been freshman of the year. But look, it's a quarterback at Boise State. You understand why, you know, people will lose their minds for that. So, understandable. All right, Hans, Pac-12 championship game coming up, and we will be down there. You and Lloyd, Christian Cox, will have our Utah pre- and post-game show live from Las Vegas. And Lloyd will be down getting sound and being at the stadium as well. So, we got complete coverage right here on the Zone.
We'll be leaving early Friday morning, and we'll get down there. We'll bring you the show from 11 to 2 Vegas time. That'll be obviously 12 to 3 Utah time.
I'll be down here. I'll still be here.
And hey, are we taking Christian's assault vehicle?
I would not let Christian drive.
Have you talked to Tim Daly Infinity about giving us a loaner?
I was a little bummed out when Nate told me, he's like, hey, you know, yeah, we're all good with Hans and Christian Lloyd. They requested that you not come down, so.
That's not true.
It's cool. I'll just stay here. It's fine.
They denied your credential request?
Yeah, maybe that's it.
No, you got to be up here for the Mountainland Supply event.
I will
because that's going to be a fun event.
We got a big event at Mountainland Supply coming up on Friday, and then I've got to catch a flight on the middle of the day on Saturday to go to a Utah State basketball game on Sunday. So you guys will have all the fun without me.
So it's going to be busy. We'll be 11 to 2 Vegas time, 12 to 3 doing the Hats and Scotty show in Vegas. Then we will kick up your pregame show at 4 Vegas time, 5 Utah
five here,
time.
Yep.
And we'll take you right up to kickoff. Chris and I will scoot over to the game. We're going to be broadcasting right next to the arena or the stadium, so we'll scoot over to the game. Lloyd will already be there. And Lloyd's going to grab some post-game sound. We're going to have a full audience there just taking it all in and bringing you all the info for that Pac-12 championship game. I think Utah fans deserve a lot. You know, when their team makes a push like this, I think Utah deserves a lot, and that's why I love what our station does. You know, when you need that extra coverage and that extra time, we're going to push to get out there and to cover it as fully as we possibly can. Can't wait to be out there. Can't wait to watch this game. As far as a I think it's going to be more difficult, Scotty.
Can you just make sure Lloyd doesn't wear Raiders gear? Like, I know it's the stadium, but can you not let him be Raiders fanboy?
Why can't I? What's wrong with wearing Raiders gear there?
Okay. It's a professional setting.
Tell me this. What?
Yeah, but I'm calling it. It's not even the same league. I'm fine.
I know, but I wouldn't wear. Look, if this game was at Denver, I wouldn't wear Broncos gear to it. Like, we don't fan out at these games.
Hey, I can tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to be sending pictures of your number one to you. I will say that. I won't be doing that at the Raiders logo. Oh, you know what? Maybe I should send that picture out. I'll blur everything, but maybe I should send that picture out.
I don't think that's important, Lloyd.
Oh, okay. Fine. I won't wear Raiders gear. You got it. I won't wear it. Won't do it.
Do I have clearance to use whatever means necessary to force him not having Raiders gear on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, you have. You have a carte blanche to do whatever you do to make sure that
I don't need you accosting
we're not,
me.
We're not doing something.
Scotty just showed me the picture, Lloyd.
See?
Not the best representation.
No, it's not, but it's very Scotty.
I'm not.
I mean, I'm with you. I think it's, I don't want to say unlikely, but let's just talk about it in real terms like we talked about yesterday. There is everything against the University of Utah in this game, including 10 other Pac-12 teams that are going to be actively rooting against the University of Utah in this game. You've got a conference commissioner who's going to be actively rooting against the University of Utah in this game. You know how happy George Kolovkoff looked last year handing that trophy off to Kyle Whittingham? If he has to do it this year, he's going to look miserable. He's like, here you go, Kyle. Enjoy your trophy. You just cost us a lot of conference notoriety, and you just cost everybody a lot of money, including yourself. So thanks a lot.
Yeah.
And if you think any real metal has gone into the building of this trophy that you can melt down and trade in for real money, no, it's all plastic because we have no money and this conference stinks and we have no money. We got a network that's sucking all the money away from us. So we made this out of refurbished lamp in the back studio.
Uh-huh. Yeah, took the shade off and stuck a football on it. Enjoy that trophy.
So enjoy it.
I think Utah fans grasp the importance of USC going. They don't care.
No, they don't.
But Utah fans understand how important it is that USC go represent and play well. And by the way, it's a first round matchup against Georgia. USC will be the fourth ranked.
Correct.
Georgia will be the one ranked. USC will match up with Georgia. And we've already seen what a good Pac-12 team does against Georgia. That was Oregon. That was a 49-10?
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range?
Yeah, it was rough.
It was a really bad outcome. That's potential to happen for the Pac-12. Regardless, it's important that the Pac-12 have a team that represents in that championship game. We would all like to see the Pac-12 represent in that championship game. Here's the problem. Not at the expense of Utah getting an opportunity to get back to the Rose Bowl.
No.
I know that it would damage the conference. Kyle Whittingham knows it. But that might be all the more reason that these guys are like, you know what, let's keep playing spoiler.
Yeah.
Let's keep putting the brakes on it. There's got to be a part. There's got to be a small part of this new Pac-12 front office that looks at USC and they're like, kind of don't want it. We kind of don't want to build USC's brand before we send them into another conference.
Good point. But I think money drives everything, and any kind of financial help you can give your conference is going to be important. But you're right. I think the Pac-12 would be looking at this very differently if it was Oregon or Washington instead of USC. You bring up a really good point there.
Well, if, you know, let's say that you and I had an opportunity to jump to the mothership for millions of dollars, and here Bonneville and KSLSports.com and our new management group putting all this time and effort and energy into us, but they want us to win because it looks good for the station. But at some point, it comes a point of, this is competition.
Yeah.
We've got a non-compete with these guys because we grow their brand and we only want it to go so far. I've got to imagine the Pac-12 has a complete conflict of interest with this.
Yeah, it's painful. No, you're exactly right. Because if you are the Pac-12, you're like, oh, this is great. Now we can say we're back. Oh, but the team that got you back is leaving in 2 years.
Does USC have two more seasons after this season?
I thought it was 25, so I think this season...
23 and 24.
Is it? Or is it the 24 season?
Because that's how Texas and Oklahoma are.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that one. I'll look that up during the break.
But regardless, we both feel like Texas and Oklahoma won't play their final 2 years in the Big 12.
They're playing next year. I think they'll find a way to wiggle their way out after next year.
You would think.
I would think so. A lot of billable hours in play.
So I would believe that the Pac-12 is kind of all over the place, but still having the logo and the representation is most important to them, especially in the middle of these negotiating rights. We got to remember that the Pac-12 has not finalized a deal. They have not put money on paper yet. And they are constantly looking for brand recognition. And this Pac-12 championship game and USC representing and Utah having an opportunity to build their name, all of this is important to what they're trying to do behind the scenes with contract negotiations that eventually will pay these teams out what they're hoping, a large sum of money. I got to imagine that they are in a night and a headache of a negotiating battle right now because they're like, well, what about San Diego State? How do you feel about that? Why don't you put together an estimate of what our distribution would be if San Diego State was in this conference? Huh?
All right, so let's role play a little bit here. You are the athletic director of Arizona. You're the athletic director of Arizona State. Colorado. Washington, Oregon. And you're watching this game. Who are you cheering for? Who do you genuinely hope
Utah
wins this game? Because you do not want USC, even if it hurts you in the pocketbook and hurts the reputation of your conference, even though I know USC's leaving.
It would be Utah.
You still would be cheering for
Yeah,
Utah.
But I have an issue with taking things personal.
Yeah.
And I felt like the...
I haven't noticed that.
Oh, come on.
No, not at all.
Scotty.
No. It's what makes
Lloyd.
What makes you. And I absolutely love it.
Well, and I'm still aware of that today.
Lloyd.
What?
By what cause? Because I'm going to rip the Raiders gear off you?
Sure. That's one of the things.
What else?
You take things very personal. You want
to
bring this? You said you didn't want to do this today.
You'll take it personal, and then we'll have a really uncomfortable last 90 minutes of the show.
I'm not aware of what either one of you are talking about.
I feel like you are.
And now I'm starting to get heated.
See, there you go. There it is. Top's starting to blow.
All right, fine. We'll put it to bed until we get through this show. Then we're going to talk.
You're going to have a long five and a half hour drive to talk about this.
Yeah. Hopefully we can get things squared
out. Are you guys
all
carpooling?
Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah.
we are going to introduce Christian to hands-free eating.
Don't. No. The non-carpool thing is you. Okay. It might be because of me. I am a carpool guy. I love to hang out with the guys.
Yeah.
Stop at great restaurants. Shoot the breeze about.
We stopped at the worst restaurant parties. In the history of Las Vegas. That buffet was the worst.
It featured oxtail stew as their primary
dish. Yeah, I forgot.
The most disgusting stew. I tried it because it was featured, and it was hot garbage. It was like if you dropped bone in a piece of prime rib in a very watered-down au jus. That's what it tasted like.
Yeah. Nobody cleaned that tail before they dropped it in.
Oh, it was so bad. At least get the cow hair off. At least get the ox hair off of the tail before you put it in there. But I take things a little bit personal.
Yes.
And I felt like slipping out in the middle of the night, leaving everybody high and dry, was a knife in the back of everybody else in the conference. And so if I'm Colorado, I feel damaged by it. If I'm Utah, I feel really damaged by it. If I'm the Pac-12 front offices, I'm horrified by it because I'm trying to scramble to figure out how to continue to pay these programs 40 to 60 or 80 million trying to keep up with the Joneses in Power 5 football. So I am ticked off, and I want nothing but the worst for USC. It's like that buddy that sinks you with a girl that you really like, and the buddy sinks you with the girl because he likes the girl.
Yeah.
And the whole time you're giving him notes to give to her, and he's not giving her the notes, and he's saying, he never talks about you, has no interest. Well, you find that out about your buddy, you're like, okay, I'm done. I just don't like what USC or UCLA did. How much does it help the brand that USC goes to this college football playoff knowing the world knows that the money that USC generates is out the door in a matter of time? So how much does it actually help? Can you sit at a negotiating table and the team represent the college football playoff?
You could say, well, it's some of our conference can make the college football playoff, and then their response to you is, no, that was USC. Can any of your other teams do that? Can Utah continue to do that? Can Oregon or Washington, can they do that? Institutions out there where you sign up and you're a number on a spreadsheet. That's all they are. That's all you are to them. That's not the case here at UFirst Credit Union. You're a person. You're a story. You've got financial needs, and they're here to help. UFirst Credit Union. Check them out at before we go to break, right now, let's give away a pair of Jazz tickets. Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. You'll win a pair of tickets to see the Utah Jazz take on the Golden State Warriors on December 7th at Vivint Arena. Caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Once again,
championship game.
Kyle Whittingham and the Utes are back in the Pac-12 championship game.
Jazz on three. One, two, three.
Jazz! Looking for back-to-back Pac-12 titles and another trip to the Rose Bowl. Listen all week long as The Zone gets you ready for a battle in Las Vegas as the Utes square off against USC. Then catch the Ute pregame show this Friday at 5 with the postgame show immediately following the game. Your home for the best coverage of the Utes in the Pac-12 championship game is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good
right, it's time for the good, bad, and the ugly. Having some technical difficulties. We'll get the guys dialed back up. Oh, hold on. Maybe we have the guys. Scotty, Hans, are you guys with me? Hello.
We got them.
Hey.
Of course we are.
Hold on.
Good, bad, ugly.
Might be okay.
We would never leave you, Lloyd.
Oh, that,
good,
I appreciate
the bad,
that.
The ugly right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, Hans, let's start with the good. Team USA right now leading 1-0 over Iran. Do you think Team USA holds on for the victory?
Yes.
There's your good. All right, let's start with the bad. Let's continue on with the bad, Hans.
Well, one of my favorite fighters all time is Nate Diaz.
Yes.
Nate Diaz is no longer a part of the UFC.
What?
I think for the fighting world out there, they'd be a little bit shocked with this, but Nate Diaz was in a negotiating period with the UFC. I thought for sure they'd put together a 3 or 4 fight contract with Nate just to secure him.
Yeah.
But they've let Nate Diaz go. He's 37 years old, so he's well out of his fighting prime. But he remains, I think, one of the biggest showpieces that the UFC brings out, puts in the cage in any given event.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer because Nate Diaz is no longer contracted to fight in the UFC. His last fight was against Tony Ferguson, but we've seen some amazing fights. We saw the one against Edwards. Remember that fight just before Edwards came into Salt Lake to fight for the belt? Nate Diaz had a spectacular outing against him. He just has the fighting style that everybody loves. He's never a letdown. You know that he's going to get a bloody face. You know that he's going to take many shots. And you know he's going to stand up and continue to brawl. And I think that's what the UFC needs more of. And it's tough because some of your best fighters are your safest fighters.
Yeah.
Guys that keep distance, the guys that then close distance as wrestlers, take the fight to the ground, try for submissions. That has never been Nate Diaz's style. He's excellent at fighting off the takedown attempts. He loves to stand. He loves to get in a phone booth, throw elbows, throw fists, and score standing on his feet. And that's always been the best parts of the UFC. And you no longer get that from Nate Diaz.
So is it a personal thing? Is it come down to production? Like, why would they do that?
I actually do think it's a bit personal. Nate Diaz's existence in the UFC has always been contentious. With Dana White, with the brand, with how much they pay him, with early on it was marijuana usage. The UFC was so against it, and it was illegal, and then they made it legal, but he had fight suspensions, and his brother Nick was in trouble for it, and they've always been kind of the marijuana brothers of the UFC. And there's always been something that Diaz is upset about. There was a strange brawl in a hallway with another fighter squad after this latest fight. There's always something. But that's what keeps the show interesting. Like, when Conor McGregor is a complete nutcase.
Yeah.
But when he was doing those things, when he threw that dolly through the bus window and it hurt like 6 people, including a couple of women, when he punched an old man out at a bar in Ireland because the old man wouldn't try his whiskey, all those things that Conor McGregor did, it should have put him in jail. It should have forced us to hate him. But all it did was build his card bigger. That's what happens in these fight leagues. Sometimes it's the knuckleheads that end up being the bigger brand.
Yeah.
They end up billing the bigger card.
It's unfortunate.
And that was Diaz. As much as I can't stand him, I can't go without him in the UFC. And he's not going to fight in the UFC anymore.
He's still a draw, right? People still want to watch him fight.
For sure. He still has all the bells and whistles. I think he's starting to slip a little bit mentally, probably a little bit physically. But he is a must for any UFC, any MMA fan. He is a must watch. If he's on a card, Scotty buys it, and I go and watch it.
And by Scotty, you mean your friend, yeah. Your other friend, Scotty.
Yeah, the other Scott.
Because I bought one fight, and I'm not buying another one.
Yeah, we bought the boxing match.
Yes.
Mayweather and McGregor.
McGregor, yep.
And it was not good.
No, it was not. And
the prelims were not good.
Was that the time where you were told you were not allowed to sleep over?
That was the time. There was a sign outside your house that said no sleepovers. And this is when your basement bathroom was working.
Yes.
There were no excuses.
This is when my house was whole at that point.
Are you getting things figured out?
I think we're getting close. A little DIYing going on.
What's this other new situation?
Oh, I don't even want to talk about that.
Is it bad?
It's pretty bad, yeah.
Is it a drain clog at the street valve?
No, it's just plumbing, and it's just old and beat up, and I'm telling you, kids, just buy new. Build.
Hey, really? That's not always the case.
Buy an old house.
That's not always the case, by the way, because we know somebody that bought new, and their pipes froze nonstop.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah.
In fact, they had to leave their cupboards open.
We love him.
They had to leave their cupboards open because they kept freezing on a brand new home.
We love that man dearly, but that man had bad luck follow him wherever he went.
Bless Austin.
We love him. Yep. I would gladly take a bullet for him, but I do know that there's a lot of bullets coming for him.
Nonstop. I'll take one, but I'm not taking the 28 that are constantly headed towards him.
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
And don't get him started on blind people.
That he lost his mind. He'd had it with him. Those those in wheelchairs.
Oh man.
Those two groups.
My two favorite drops of all time. Blind people, get your act together.
Get your act together.
He was talking about the people installing the blinds in his home.
He had no intention of upsetting blind people.
Oh, man. So good. All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
This is a worrisome story coming out of Qatar. Qatari officials involved in the organization of the country's World Cup, they finally put a death toll number out there. This is one of the main guys that represents the Qatari officiating. And the groups that built these employments that went out and built a $200 billion infrastructure.
Yeah.
That's a B, not an M. Qatar put in $200 billion of infrastructure starting back in 2010 when they got the World Cup nomination. So they've had a lot of years to work on this. Now, these numbers, Scotty, go back to the original part of 2010. Because I don't want people to think, oh, this happened in a one-year period. No, it happened over a long period of time. And I'm not trying to ease the blow of what this Qatari official put out there. He was asked in an interview, what does the number look like as far as human deaths during the building of the infrastructure for the 2022 World Cup? He put that number between 400 and 500 workers that died trying to build that infrastructure.
Two things that's alarming about that. Number one, that number in itself is way too high. Number two, that number is woefully below what the actual number really is.
My guess is that is a gigantic cover-up.
Yes. I've heard people estimate somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000.
And what's weird, so this was done on Piers Morgan's show. It was done with another journalist that was doing the interview with this guy named Al Thawadi. He's the guy that's representing the Qatari officials. And I felt like he said it so confident that it was like, oh, yeah, only 400 or 500. Like, just like you mentioned, covering up the fact that it's probably a number much greater than that.
Yeah.
Almost throwing the number out there like, oh, it's not that bad. Just 400 or 500 people. Could you imagine if during the construction, getting ready for the, was it the 2002 Olympics here, right?
Correct.
Getting ready for the 2002 Winter Olympics here in Salt Lake City. Imagine 400 to 500 people dying, trying to build the bobsled track, trying to build some of the ice skating arenas, trying to build some of the underground tunnels, because Qatar, they put in a underground transit system. They rebuilt that entire place using $200 billion and the lives of many good men and women that were putting in a lot of time to try to build that infrastructure, getting ready for the World Cup. So I know that this was a point of contention for our country. I know that we were constantly in conflict, thinking we are going to send our men's national team to a country that completely overlooked human rights in an effort to build an infrastructure, as well as disregarding the gay and lesbian communities and disregarding the just the basic human natures of decency.
Yeah.
Because that's what they've done.
Imagine, again, let's go back to the Olympics that you brought up, and let's just take the 400 to 500 number at face value. Okay? It's way higher than that. Like, astronomically higher than that. But let's just, for the sake of argument, let's just go 400 to 500. So let's imagine a 10-year lead up to Olympics, and you have 40 to 50 people dying every year in building facilities leading up to those Olympic Games.
To shut down.
You imagine the amount of outcry if 1 to 2 people die. People are losing their minds and shutting things down.
Yeah, because lives are important.
40 to 50 people dying every year leading up to a total of 400 to 500, which isn't a real number, by the way. It's way, way higher than that. Like, the amount of human atrocities that's gone on in preparation for these games have just been ridiculous.
And the financial gain that Qatar,
yeah,
which, by the way, illegally was able to nail down this World Cup, was able to land this World Cup. You know all the greed and all the underhanded business that went into that.
Mm-hmm.
Alone should have shut this down.
Yeah.
But
it's dirty.
Here we all are, all glued to our TVs, and Scotty and I are glued to our TV. We are watching this U.S. versus Iran match. It is very important.
With bated breath.
And we've got Lloyd back in studio with 4 different TVs giving us World Cup updates across the board.
Lloyd, has the United States scored again?
No.
And that is your World Cup update.
Brought to you by U First Credit
Union. By U First Credit Union. All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. By the way, I screwed up a little bit. There have been 4 players on Utah State's team that were at or on that earned all conference honors. One on the first team, that was Alfred Edwards on the offensive line. 2 on the offensive second team, as Calvin Tyler, and as a wide receiver, Brian Cobbs, very well deserved on that one too, earned second team honors. And then on the defensive side, Ike Larson on the second team. So 4 players named from Utah State on the first and second teams.
Good deal. That's better. Hey, before we go to break, I did want to mention that Musa's movement in the midfield has been great.
I thought so as well.
Well, in the first half, I think he's been stuck in mud in the second half.
Musa is stuck in mud.
I think.
And that is your World Cup update. Are people really that interested? I'm putting out a poll. I want to know. I'm going to put out a poll.
Because you know why. Polls are fun.
Polls are a lot of fun. How many people are watching the World Cup right now?
Right now. Team USA. How many people are watching it right now?
I'm going to put out. How should I construct this? I haven't put out a poll question.
Hey, losers.
Jeez, man, don't do that.
One of you losers.
No, please don't.
I'm just going to say, are you?
We're kidding. That was off the air, Lloyd. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
World Cup play. Is that fair?
The thing That's is, the like the U.S., like with the U.S. World playing, play? I feel like people are, I mean, I'm watching definitely a lot more because I'm like, oh, well,
look,
it's the U.S.
Twitter. People on Twitter, man, they're fired up about it. Yeah. And it's a big one, too. It's the last game of pool play, right?
Don't know anything about Musa's movement,
it's
but sure.
The knockout round. All right, Hans and Scotty, 148-97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Coming up next, another edition of Whole World News. We'll talk more Utah-USC coming up at 205 right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Once again,
championship game.
Kyle Whittingham and the Utes are back in the Pac-12 championship game.
Champs on three. One, two, three. Champs!
Looking for back-to-back Pac-12 titles and another trip to the Rose Bowl. Listen all week long as The Zone gets you ready for a battle in Las Vegas as the Utes square off against USC. Then catch the Ute pregame show this Friday at 5 with the postgame show immediately following the game. Your home for the best coverage of the Utes in the Pac-12 championship game is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. The Globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News, presented by City Creek Mortgage on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You've got the whole world.
Hanson, Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all well. Live here at U First Credit Union. Come by, hang out with us. All kinds of goodies, including two more Jazz shirts left. So we want to get you squared away. We don't want to take these things home.
Come in and grab them.
They're yours.
First come, first serve.
Gave away a lot of stuff right out of the gate.
Yeah. We had a nice grip of gear and some really nice Jazz gear that we were able to give away. Scotty, do you and your family play games?
Yeah, we do, actually. We usually have a weekly game of poker.
I actually think that you're being serious. Because
no, that's 100% true.
Boys came up and played poker with me.
And they have to use their own money, too. We keep a running tab.
Are you being serious?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because poker's no... If you're playing with pretzel sticks or candy, it's no fun. Like, if we're going to play, we're going to play.
It's got to be a total.
Yeah, and so we keep a running tab. And
there's four boys in your home that probably love a good poker game.
They all work.
Does Mama get involved?
Mama gets involved. Mama's a really good poker player.
Is she?
Yeah. Then we do, the other stuff. What's the other stuff the kids like to play? What's that one? You ever play Settlers of Catan?
Yeah, I know it, yes.
We play a little bit of that, too.
So, do you play any Monopoly?
No, I have not played Monopoly with them.
This happened in Tulsa, and I don't know if you've had any like big family disputes over games. I know that it's happened in the past for me. My wife and I are extremely competitive. There was a time where we didn't play games because it just got too competitive, but then both of us backed off because we had kids and we wanted to play games with kids,
yeah.
And it's come around. Well, the Tulsa Police Department arrested a man on Saturday after they say a family game of Monopoly turned extremely violent.
Oh, no.
This happened at 6:30 p.m. It ended up in a 911 caller identifying the suspect as John Armstrong, saying that John Armstrong, Scotty, ran from the house out of anger, being chased by his father-in-law and his sister-in-law. He then presented a gun and chased them. They took off down the street. He fired a shot. Cops were called for shots fired. They actually found the guy, John Armstrong. He claims that he was chasing them, but shot the gun into the ground and not at them. But a game of Monopoly turned into an arrest and a possible charge of gun violence, whether it's assault with a deadly weapon or however they end up charging him, this is going to be a really bad situation for this family. All off of a game of Monopoly. And can you guess what may have been the accelerant? Alcohol.
Yeah, that would usually do it.
Boy.
If you're going to play games...
That escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
If you're going to play games, do it sober. It's best to do it sober.
Yeah, I would say that's probably for the best. Okay, so would you play Monopoly? You say you and Amanda played Monopoly then?
Yeah, we do. Our family plays Monopoly.
And it gets a little heated, I'm sure.
Has been in
the
past.
You got a lot of people there in that house that are competitive, and as we found out earlier, takes things personally.
Yes. I try not to, but sometimes things do slip in, and I take them personally.
There's a little card game that we used to play called Five Crowns. Have you ever played that?
I have not played that.
It's fine. It's fun. It's, you know, a dopey game. And my kids routinely kicked my butt. And I could never win at that game.
Legitimately.
Beat you. Could not win. Yeah. And it bothered me to a great extent, to the point where I just said, I'm no longer... You guys can play the game all you want. I am not going to play this game anymore. Because any time I would sit down, I would hear something like that. Well, at least I know I'm not going to finish last because Dad's here. And I'm like, nope.
Talking trash like that?
Nope. Not doing that. Because, number one, they're not wrong. And number two, I don't have to put up with that. So I would be like, no, we're walking away.
I am going to admit to something that I shouldn't.
Gather around the radio,
no,
folks. Here we go.
You don't need to. But because I know my family doesn't listen to this show at all, podcast form, streaming form, or otherwise, they don't. If I'm playing a family game, I will cheat until I have no oxygen left in my body.
Yeah.
And I will do it underhandedly and as sneakily as I possibly can. But I refuse to lose to my family in games. I've been caught many times. I'm known in the house as a cheater. But, Scotty, I grew up with the moniker, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Yes, same.
And so I try to, and I'll justify it by saying, I really push the rules, and I'm ignorant most of the time.
What if somebody challenges you and says and makes a claim that you're cheating? How bad do you fight back on that?
It's pretty harsh. It's a pretty good pushback. It's a pretty good pushback. And I'll stand up and stomp around and ask people how they afford this house. And
you say you don't, but I know you do because I would too. Oh, yeah? You think you're good at this game? Guess who bought this game? This game doesn't exist. You don't even exist if it's not for me.
Just stomp around angry until they're like, okay, fine, just come back and play, Dad.
Yeah.
And then I go right back to cheating. It's a sad deal, man.
It's time for another World Cup soccer update featuring Lloyd Cole, brought to you by U-First Credit Union. With that, it is... David's over there like, wait, what? It's added value, David. It's the World Cup update. Lloyd, has the United States scored again?
No.
That is your World Cup update right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Brought to you by U-First Credit Union. We love it, man.
Apparently, we're in stoppage time.
Anything that we can find added value for our great sponsors, we're going to find it.
Yes.
So, do you want a poll result?
Yeah, let's hit it.
I think that everybody might be pretty surprised by this. I put out a poll question to my over 2,000 Twitter followers. I said, are you watching World Cup play?
That was a flex right there.
It's over 2,000. Are you watching World Cup play? Right now, there are 400 votes, 68% saying yes.
68%?
68% saying yes. That is a much higher percent. Through 40 votes, that is a much higher percent than I expected.
So I got to imagine that they're probably enjoying Lloyd Cole's insight on the World Cup.
I've had a couple of people very critical on Twitter of the way we're covering soccer.
Really?
Yeah. One guy said, maybe one day you'll stop mocking your listeners about soccer.
Wait a minute. We're not mocking. We're giving you great insight.
We are giving you World Cup updates.
Yes. Come on. We're not.
Every time they score, when you hear Scotty stop and pause and say, it is time for a World Cup update, just understand there's something significant coming.
In fact, we have one right now. With that, Lloyd Cole, did the United States get a win today in the World Cup?
Yes.
And there you go. That is your World Cup update. 1-0 over Iran.
Now,
and they almost gave up a late goal, by the way.
That's what Twitter is getting a little salty about. They are now in the knockout round of 16. So it's essentially your Sweet 16.
Okay.
Win, survive, and advance. Now, don't ask me who
they're
going to play.
This is when things get really exciting.
Yeah. Nate's probably listening. Hey, Nate, who are they playing? Let us know.
Text or tweet.
Yeah.
We'll receive both.
Hands and Scotty, this is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.